October 21st, 2021. This is Lou Caverly, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, and I brought you last week's Divided Kingdom program entitled Occult October 2021. It warned everyone about the horrific G2G app plan operating in Australia. This, we informed you, is the elite's hoped-for, long-awaited template for the global surveillance and tyrannical imprisonment of every man, woman, and child on Earth. If you missed that program, it is imperative you hear it. Send others, too, to hear that October 14th landmark warning program. Go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go to the listening archives and hear the program for October 14th. Those listeners who can hear us on WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, that's LWRN.net, Global Star and K-Star Talk Radio are looking to us to provide much more than the cutting-edge political news, though this news is more crucial than ever before.
Yes, Lou, more hidden things are coming to light. Here is my latest essay posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com. But before I give that essay to you, when we said that things are coming to light, people in mass are beginning to wake up. And we had October 15th, 2021 from the AP, Irving, refusal to get vaccinated about, quote, what's best for me. Kyrie Irving said Wednesday he didn't want to lose salary or a chance to compete for a championship with the Brooklyn Nets, but was doing, quote, what's best for me by refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The Nets decided Tuesday that Irving wouldn't be with the team because he isn't eligible to play in home games where a New York mandate requires professional athletes on one of the city's teams to be vaccinated to practice or play in public venues. Speaking on Instagram Live, Irving said he loved basketball and wasn't going to retire. Quote, I am doing what's best for me. I know the consequences here, and if it means that I'm judged and demonized for that, that's just what it is, Irving said. That's the role I play, but I never wanted to give up my passion, my love, my dream, just over this mandate. So what? It's not about the money, Irving said, because he'd be giving up about half of his $35 million salary. He said, it's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? And we would bring up that Lou and I heard the most wonderful talk, and it was by Patriot Nurse, wasn't it, Lou?
Yes, it was. Very impressive.
That was on Brighteon.com, Brighteon.com. And her main thesis was that all through history, there have been two types of the masses, and the 90% are really descended from serfs and people who were always subservient, and it's almost in their genetic pool that they give in and that they do what they're told to do. But the other 10%, you see, sometimes fight back, and they think for themselves. And so it's very important what the Patriot Nurse said, that in our time, we are having some people really stand up about these COVID clot shots and the harm being done, and more people are awakening. And this is so important that we look to our consciences and our own awareness of our own well-being. And I think that Irving here was very, very smooth in the way he intimated he didn't want to be killed the way Colin Powell probably was killed. And we do think that's very, very ironic that Colin Powell was vaccinated, and yet he was someone back earlier in the annals of our government's nefarious part of the history. There was anthrax given to the troops. There was the false, illegal war. There was no yellow cake. There were no weapons of mass destruction for us to get into the Iraq war and kill millions of their people. No, it's like a boomerang. We don't believe in karma, but in the Bible it says we reap what we sow. So there again, we see the consequences. Sometimes people in that 90% think they know it all and they think they're part of the elite, but really Colin Powell was just a tool for the globalists. It's very clear. So now moving on to my new essay, Whistleblower Case 2, October 19, 2021, by Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly. Pfizer's Melissa Strickler tells of mRNA acting as CRISPR DNA editor and possible luciferase making glow in Pfizer COVID vaccine. Now, where have we heard about luciferase? Lou and I brought you some information on that. Actually, a listener sent it to us a long time ago, I think about March of 2020. And we didn't use it for a long time, and then we presented it, and it certainly does seem to have satanic implications from the occult to the actual substance itself and the purpose of it. And we know that Bill Gates's work with the trust stamp and MasterCard, all that's underway now in South Africa, and there's no cash currency being used, and the app is inside the people, and the luciferase is probably at work. So here is what we now learned again from Melissa Strickler. October 15, 2021, LifeSite's Jim Hale interviewed courageous, about-to-be-terminated Pfizer employee Melissa Strickler. Strickler, a Christian, was morally compelled, she said, to come forward, revealing shocking Pfizer insider emails to Project Veritas. Victoria Gelman, Pfizer Senior Director of Worldwide Research, was caught on an email advising the need to cover up the fetal cell derivation issue of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. Pfizer Chief Scientific Officer Philip Dormitzer had an email also that came under scrutiny, revealed were Pfizer research details using AGK293T cells. Strickler explained, these are human embryonic kidney cells from an undisclosed aborted fetus from the 1970s. These cells never stop replicating, unlike the way normal cells die. They use these cancerous cells to see how the vaccine they're working on affects our human cells. Strickler emphasized that mRNA technology is never mentioned to be, in actuality, CRISPR technology that, quote, edits your DNA. She also suspects strongly that Bill Gates' luciferase, SM-102, I'll repeat that, SM-102 is a component of the Pfizer vaccine. The fact the vaccine glows, she says, could come from only two causes, graphene oxide and luciferase. The latter has some components akin to the makeup of lightning bugs' light flashes. Pfizer admitted luciferase was used in the experimental trials, but Strickler believes it was in the final version as well, because after all, the, quote, final vaccine is still, quote, experimental. This luciferase, quote, glow, Strickler explains, will identify someone as being vaccinated. Though losing her job, Strickler embodies the courage and sacrifice of a true Christian standing admirably against great evils. She witnessed for Christ and said she had to come forward and that now may be the time in Revelation 18 when, quote, the whole world was deceived by, quote, spells. And this latter word in Greek is actually pharmakia.
Not only are more hidden aspects of COVID clot shots, secrecy and harm coming to the awareness of the masses, but the active survival instinct is beginning to kick in. Opposition is growing. Headline, Boeing employees planning Freedom Flu sick-out Fridays in response to COVID vaccine mandate. This was published Sunday, October 17th by Ivanov, Natural News. Leaked documents suggest that another mass sick-out event will soon take place, this time at Boeing, which recently threatened its unvaccinated employees with termination if they refuse to get shot for the Wuhan coronavirus. Several Boeing employees in Seattle reportedly sent Human Events copies of internal documents showing that so-called Freedom Flu sickouts are set to commence in response to the company's refusal to tolerate non-injected workers at its facilities. Quote, Boeing has acted in bad faith and knew months ago that they were going to mandate us at the end of the year, one of the memos reads. They told us it was going to happen. Now they are leading the world to believe we have ample time to make a decision by December 8th. That's a lie. We are now protesting at the union, and we are now doing the Freedom Flu. Another posted image shows a laminated sign stating that there will be a Right to Choose Sick Out event happening every Friday, starting on October 15th and continuing indefinitely. Quote, the deadline for employees of the aerospace giant to get the shot is December 8th, reported the Post-Millennial. And it went on to say the policy will apply to the approximately 140,000 employees throughout the company. And the subheadline, Boeing's union workers say company acted in bad faith about the mandate. Information obtained by Human Events says that union workers at Boeing are really upset at the company because it, quote, acted in bad faith, unquote, concerning the possibility of a mandate. For months, these union workers were led to believe that their leadership was fighting the mandates and working on a compromise. At the very least, they were expecting that a test-out option would be provided for them to avoid having to get injected. In a message to his members in the October issue of the union paper, Aero Mechanic, International Association of Machinists, IAM, District 751 President John Holden explained that, quote, the reality is our members are polarized on this issue, unquote. He added, it is our responsibility to defend and advocate for all our members, including those who can't or won't accept the vaccine, unquote. Any Boeing employee who is not fully vaccinated is being forced to get the first dose of Moderna no later than October 27th, or the first dose of Pfizer no later than November 3rd. Anyone who chooses the Johnson & Johnson single-dose jab will have until November 24th to get it. Quote, a failure to meet the vaccine requirements by the due date would result in an involuntary resignation, not a termination for cause, internal Boeing company emails obtained by the Post-Millennial explain. It went on to say it is considered a resignation and would not result in any variation of policy for payout of VAC, PTO, SL, pension, 401k, unquote. The same email went on to say Boeing wants to retain all of its employees, but that many of them, quote, have strong feelings around the recent company response to the executive order implementing a vaccine requirement, unquote. And unless a Boeing employee is able to submit a proper medical or religious exemption from getting the injections, he or she, quote, may be released from the company, unquote. Further explained, an image from the company's presentation that was delivered via webcast from management to employees. All Boeing employees are free to seek an exemption, quote, due to a disability or sincerely held religious belief, unquote. Though anyone who qualifies is being told that he or she will have to undergo frequent testing for COVID-19 and present a negative test result upon request. Boeing claims that it has no choice but to abide by President Biden's recent executive order requiring COVID-19 vaccines for federal contractors. And more related news about Fauci flu fascism can be found at fascism.news. That's fascism.news. And, of course, I'm going to interject here before I read the next article. This whole thing by Biden is just a statement by him. It has, as I see it, no legal foundation whatsoever. There is no act of Congress. There isn't even, I don't believe, a properly made executive order.
I think that's correct. I think we've heard that.
I think that's true.
So it's
true.
All bluff, bravado, and BS.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, our next thing is from the Gateway Pundit. Southwest employees protest vaccine mandate outside airline headquarters in Dallas. This was a video, but we'll give you a couple of comments that go with it. And by going online to Gateway Pundit, doing a little search, you can see the video if you'd like to. This is by Christina Layla, published October 18th, 2021. Southwest employees gathered outside of the airline's headquarters in Dallas on Monday morning to protest the company's vaccine mandate. Thousands of Southwest flights were canceled after pilots and employees boycotted the company's vaccine mandate. And we'll just add a little quick comment. Southwest Airlines may be beginning to back down.
Yes, that's great, Lou. And this next is so heartening to me personally as an educator. Parents who understand and take action. This is from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, October 19th, 2021. Thousands of California parents join in statewide walkout against vaccine mandate for students. Thousands of California parents, students, and teachers on Monday participated in a statewide walkout to protest Governor Gavin Newsom's decision to mandate COVID-19 vaccinations for all students in both public and private schools. Newsom, a Democrat, earlier this month announced the vaccine mandate for school children in grades 7 through 12. Once the vaccines have received full approval by the Federal Food and Drug Administration, making California the first state to implement such requirements. So far, the FDA has only granted emergency authorization for anyone aged 12 to 15. Newsom's latest vaccine requirement is expected to take effect in January 2022, or the start of the 2022 school year. Crowds of Californians opposed to the measures swarmed the steps of the California Capitol, carrying signs that read, "My body, my choice," and "My children won't be a science experiment to make you feel safe." Many parents statewide pulled their children from school to participate in the rallies in hopes their absences from class would send a message to state officials. One Sacramento mother, Kendall Raymer, 32, told the Associated Press that she pulled her two children out of elementary school to attend a rally, adding that she and her husband planned a shift to homeschooling once Newsom's vaccine mandate comes into effect. Quote, "Everybody should be able to make their own choice for what's good for them," she said. Now, we heard that earlier by that sports figure, Kyrie, didn't we? Los Angeles Unified School District, back to the article, the employee Hovik Sapongian told Sky Fox that school children shouldn't be forced to, quote, "take something without all the data." "I'm here protesting the mandate because we don't believe that we should take it religiously, ethically, or morally," said Sapongian. Los Angeles Unified School District, LAUSD, parent Rima McEachran told the news outlet that she was participating in a rally because, quote, "we want our children and our teachers to have a choice. As a parent, I think I have the right with other parents to stand up for our children," she said. Bravo, Lou. As an educator, don't you feel happy about this?
I do, yes.
Parents are starting to look out for their children. That's their job, their God-given job. And then another person said, "I don't want to get the vaccine for my child because they are too young. There are no studies showing the long-term effects. We should wait for a couple of years," added LAUSD parent Nara Verdersian. Hundreds of parents and students also gathered at a recent Placentia Yorba Linda Unified School District board meeting to voice their opposition to the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. This is way too new to be injecting 100% of our kids, and we need to have a choice, Kristen Mortensen of Placentia told the Epoch Times. I'm here to stand up for my children's rights and all kids in our district, in our county. They do not deserve to be injected with something that has no long-term studies yet, added Rick, a father of two students within the district. And now we have another encouraging article, LifeSite News. Over 50 faith leaders tell Biden administration to halt COVID jab mandate for U.S. military. Michael Haynes, Monday, October 18, 2021. LifeSite News. A group of over 50 faith leaders, organizations, and individual scientists has penned a strong letter to the U.S. Department of Defense demanding that the COVID jab mandate be halted. In light of the Department of Defense's mandate that servicemen must take a COVID-19 injection, the religious freedom group Freedom of Religion United Solutions, and in parentheses, that's for us, meaning U.S. too, I'm sure, has released an open letter questioning its, quote, necessity and efficacy, end of quote, and warning of constitutional violations from the mandate. Quote, we question the necessity and efficacy of the Department of Defense COVID-19 vaccine mandate, reads the letter, addressed to the Congressional Armed Services Committees. We request formation of a Congressional Policy Commission to conduct a thorough, publicly transparent study of the mandate's impact on armed forces readiness and on national security interests. We request that the executive office be urged to stay the mandate no later than Veterans Day, November 11, 2021, and maintain this stay until the commission concludes consideration of this matter with recommendations. The signatories said that the mandates were forcing servicemen who oppose the jab for religious reasons to, quote, choose between keeping their spiritual sovereignty or serving the nation, and that this is a direct violation of, quote, their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights under the U.S. Constitution. The DOD has set November 28th as a deadline for compliance with its vaccine mandate. However, Army Medical Services Corps veteran Pam Long has already noted how service members' right to secure a religious objection to taking the injection is protected by law. And as previously reported by the Defender, military members have the right to pursue a religious accommodation for a vaccine through a process that includes input from their commander, chaplain, medical provider, and legal advisors. However, for us, remarked how, quote, regardless of their antibody status, DOD personnel who oppose the mandate for religious reasons risk separation, termination, court-martial, and even dishonorable discharge, which are permanent blots on their personal reputations. Noting the Nuremberg Code's protection of informed consent to medical procedures, as well as the Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights, the group outlined a series of demands asking for a, quote, Congressional Policy Commission to pursue those demands. Established in 2019, For Us describes itself as, quote, the first organization to preserve religious freedom through the unification of multiple religions in an effort to protect religious vaccine exemptions. This group, comprised of over 50, quote, faith leaders, has garnered over 1,500 signatures for its letter to the DOD, as well as prominent doctors who have warned about the dangers of COVID injections, like Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Speaking to LifeSite News, Dr. Shannon Croner, the executive director for us, reiterated that the group is dedicated to preserving individual sovereignty and giving a voice to religious minorities in military, government, and civilian positions who are seeking exemptions to the COVID-19 mandate. As such, the group's letter is an attempt to highlight the need for more robust due diligence in strategic national security risk assessments and policy making, and the need for accountability in leadership, Croner said. The DOD's vaccine mandate, quote, poses an unknown emergent threat to readiness and national security interests, she added. It, quote, has and will continue to force millions of military service members, civilians, and contractors, some of whom are working with me in this effort, to decide between a violation of their individual sovereignty, their personal religious values, and their service to our great nation, Croner continued, emphasizing the letter's appeal for transparency behind the decision to mandate the injection. Croner asked for fellow Americans to support our armed service members, civilians, and contractors who have no voice in this fight by signing our letter and sharing it on social media in support of For Us's efforts to help our military. U.S. servicemen are already issuing legal challenges to the mandate, and Liberty Council is representing 14 members of the armed forces, yay, including two Navy SEALs, an Air Force major, and an Army colonel in a class action lawsuit against the mandate, which they described as, quote, illegal. Quote, the Biden administration has no authority to require the COVID shots for the military or for federal employees or civilian contractors, explained Matt Staver, Liberty Council's chairman. Meanwhile, reports have noted that hundreds of thousands of troops have yet to receive an injection or take their second dose, with the Marine Corps Reserve, Army Reserves, and the Army National Guard being among the lowest percentage in their take-up rate. All three groups are less than 40% fully injected, according to DOD data from October 8th through the Army National Reserve and the Army, though the Army National Reserve and the Army National Guard have until the end of June 2022 to comply with the mandate. We have to interject there that the Patriot nurse said this 10% of people would always be using their brains. And we're so glad to hear that the Marine Corps Reserve, the Army Reserves, and the Army National Guard are among the lowest percentage of taking the clot shots. We need people to be protecting the U.S. security at our borders and elsewhere, who have this kind of penetrating intelligence, who are not lemmings to be driven across the cliff by the elite. Back to the article, former Navy SEAL Representative Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, has been tweeting daily to the Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, asking if he was, quote, really willing to allow a huge exodus of experienced service members just because they won't take the vaccine. Honestly, Americans deserve to know how you plan on dealing with this blow to force readiness. It's already causing serious problems. After repeating this message for a number of days, Representative Crenshaw has since been daily asking Austin when he planned to reply. And now we have a little bit more on this situation. Navy declares all sailors who resist taking COVID-19 vaccine will be discharged. No exemptions, no exceptions. And there you see we had former SEAL Dan Crenshaw appalled at what's going on. And especially, it appears to be the case that the Navy has a really obnoxious, tyrannical stance in all this. And this is an article from Natural News by J.D. Hayes, October 19th. And we'll have a few excerpts. USNI News reports on a new order being implemented by the Navy. All active-duty Navy personnel must be vaccinated by November 28th or face separation, according to a Navy administrative message released Wednesday. any active duty Navy service members who do not get fully vaccinated or do not have an approved or pending exemption and will be processed for an honorable separation without involuntary separation, according to NAVADMIN 225/21, released by Vice Chief of Naval Operations at Admiral William Lesher and Chief of Naval Personnel Vice Administrator John Nowell. Service members in the Ready Reserve Navy will need to be vaccinated by December 28th. To meet the deadline, Navy members on active duty are required to have their second dose of vaccine if they are receiving the two-jab Moderna or Pfizer version by November 14th, a recent service news release noted. According to literature and the shots, persons who take them are not fully vaccinated until 14 days after the second jab. For members in the Naval Reserve, they have until December 14th to get their second dose. Any member who refuses will be discharged with a classification not lower than a general discharge under honorable conditions, according to the release. Enlisted members who refuse the vaccine, quote, cannot be promoted, advance, reenlist, or execute orders outside of ones involving separation, USNI News reported. Quote, any officer who refuses to be vaccinated will have any promotions delayed. As it stands, the Navy has the highest vaccination rate of all the uniformed services, but the other branches are being equally stringent in their COVID requirements, meaning there could be a loss of up to 25 to 30% of the entire force. Lou, did you hear that?
That's astounding.
And with today's issues in recruiting, it's not a sure bet those members will be replaced, leaving our national security at risk during a time when China is rising. All said, the Pentagon isn't out of the woods yet regarding its vaccine mandate. According to the American Wire, the Defense Department is facing a lawsuit by members of all service branches filed just last week. In a federal court filing, the Liberty Council, a Christian-themed legal group, said the 24 plaintiffs, quote, face a deadline under the federal COVID-19 vaccine mandate to receive a COVID-19 vaccine that violates their sincerely held religious beliefs and have been refused any religious exemption or accommodation. And we've heard why these exemptions are refused, because the mainstream media that's so complicit with Pfizer and all of it, they will not acknowledge that there is a derivation from aborted fetal cells and that these companies have done experimentation with the same type of dead baby cell derivatives. Back to the article. Plaintiffs have demonstrated their commitments to the United States Constitution and the nation's future comfort, security, and prosperity, says the legal filing. This court should demand that the nation return the favor, telling plaintiffs they must accept or receive a shot they oppose according to their sincerely held religious beliefs or face court-martial dishonorable discharge and other life-altering disciplinary measures, disgraces the sacrifices these heroes have made, the filing says, adding that relief is, quote, needed now in order to, quote, prevent the immediate and irreparable injury imposed by the vaccine mandates. The suit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida and seeks a permanent injunction from enforcing the mandate. And before Lou picks up the thread of this program, it's so important that we ask you listeners out there at the Divided Kingdom, in the Divided Kingdom, I should say, because that's what America is, to pray very much for the success of Liberty Council and to pray that God will reward the good Christian men and women for standing up. Go ahead, Lou.
203,000 members of Sheet Metal, Air, Rail, and Transportation Union, which is SMART, SMART for short, stand strong against forced COVID vaccination. Tuesday, October 19th, 2021, by Ethan Huff. nearly a quarter of a million workers who belong to one of the North America's most dynamic and diverse unions are just saying no to mandatory Wuhan coronavirus, quote-unquote, vaccination. In a letter to the Union Pacific Company, International Association of Sheet Metal, Air, Rail, and Transportation Workers, General Chairman Roy Davis expressed strong disapproval with the company's unilateral requirement that all workers get jabbed for the Fauci flu. Davis also wants an immediate response from the Union Pacific Company about the union's concerns, as well as confirmation that it will negotiate in good faith to drop the requirement. The letter reads, quote, "We understand that OSHA has issued a federal requirement dated September 24, 2021, but Carrier has created new working conditions without negotiations with the organization. We also recognize the seriousness of the pandemic, but such does not permit Carrier to institute an arbitrary policy which will have a sweeping effect on the current working conditions and Union Pacific Railroad, rather than negotiate an agreement," unquote. The letter goes on to explain that according to Section 6 bargaining requirements, Union Pacific is required to maintain the status quo, not to arbitrarily impose a, quote, "sweeping change to the current working conditions that do not meet the standards as contained in the Railway Labor Act," unquote. Quote, "The act mandates that carriers and representatives of the employees shall give at least 30 days written notice of an intended change in agreements affecting rates of pay, rules, or working conditions, and the time and place for the beginning of conference between the representatives of the parties interested and such intended changes shall be agreed upon within 10 days after the receipt of said notice, and said time shall be within the 30 days provided in the notice," unquote. And we have from the Gateway Pundit, "The Sleeping Giant Awakens. New Yorkers speak out against draconian vaccine mandates at massive rally. Video featuring RFK Jr. and New Yorkers tell it like it is." This is by Cara Castro-Nuova and was published October 19, 2021. In a city notorious for fierce political and ideological division, New York City has recently seen unity amongst groups perceived to be on different ends of the political spectrum, such as Freedom Patriot groups and Black Lives Matter. Patriot freedom groups, Trump supporters, teachers, labor unions, medical freedom advocates, Black Lives Matter leaders, and everyday New Yorkers came together in harmony this past weekend to demand the government reverse the vaccine mandates that have rocked New York City and the nation. New Yorkers from every walk of life rallied and marched together this past Saturday in the ongoing battle to overturn what many perceived to be unconstitutional mandates and an infringement of civil liberties. New York City has the strictest vaccine passport rules in the nation, and residents continue to face discharge from their workplaces and denied entry to restaurants for not complying with the mandates. And it says, see interviews with rally goers. You can see that at the website. The crowd gathered near Times Square before the march, chanting, "We the people will not comply. We will not comply. We do not consent. No forced vaccines. No vaccine mandates. My body, my choice. No vaccine. You won't force. My body, my choice. Wake up, New York. F Joe Biden. Let's go, Brandon. And no Nazi passports." Thousands gathered near Times Square to protest the unprecedented mandates, where speakers like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., NYC artist Scott Lobato, and BLM activist Reverend McCall, Children's Health Defense Attorney Mary Holland, Dr. Lawrence Pilevsky, and Dr. Christian Northrup spoke to the audience. According to the activists, the anti-vaccine mandate movement in New York has been rapidly growing. Quote, "We are extremely excited to see such a large and diverse crowd turning up for our events," said rally organizer Kevin Peters of New York Freedom Rally. "It is growing by the week, and all credit I believe that should be all credit, is due to Bill de Blasio and Joe Biden, who have inadvertently emerged as unifying figures because of the backlash they created with their absurd and illegal policies, unquote. New Yorkers of the event seemed relieved to find allies in unexpected places after the past years of division that have swept the nation since COVID emerged in early 2020. Quote, "The sleeping giant awakens. New Yorkers are finally coming together on this issue," said John Tabacco, New York City conservative activist and host, and host of the Newsmax show Wise Guys. And he went on to say, Biden and the government overplayed their hand with these draconian vaccine mandates. And as a result, people are uniting on the right and left. This is the government's worst nightmare.
And, Lou, we have to go on to look at Chicago, too. Chaos coming to Chicago over COVID vaccine mandate as head of police union tells members to defy mayor's order. This was October 18th at Natural News. And we just give you a little synopsis of this, how ironic it is. In America's third largest city, the Windy City, with all the violence and one of the highest murder rates in the country, that we now have a rebellion. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has to know there was a video posted late last week by Chicago Fraternal Order of Police President John Catanzara, and he's directly challenging her order for this mandate of the shots, imploring officers to ignore her mandate and let the chips fall where they may. Do not fill out the portal information, he said. I've made my status very clear as far as the vaccine, but I do not believe the city has the authority to mandate that to anybody, let alone that information about your medical history. And so there was a report that the organization was preparing to file a lawsuit against the city and Lightfoot's mandate, quote, which requires city workers to report their vaccine status by Friday or be placed on a no-pay status. We go on. We have to ask the question again, why does Trump continue to promote COVID jabs when his base disapproves? That's a question we'll have to bring up again in more detail, I'm sure. And then we saw that in Dresden, even, Pegida Dresden, 4,000 East Germans chant, "Let's go Brandon," with Tommy Robinson. There's a video, and the Gateway Pundit was reporting here that British patriot Tommy Robinson, we really admire him a lot. He's been jailed for trying to bring out grooming gangs that were Muslims, all this harm done to young people. And he was in prison for a while. But he got the crowd of 4,000 to strike up a chant of, "Let's go, Brandon." And I didn't know what that meant, but Lou explained to me that there was an announcer at a sports venue, and he was possibly trying to cover up what the people were really yelling, which was F Biden. So it now has gone very viral. It's gone worldwide, this "Let's go, Brandon." But you know, that's not going to save us. And all of this kind of a physical rebellion, it's good, and we really want this. But you listening, the true remnant of Jesus' Bible-believing church needs to have more. This next spiritual update. And Lou, I think you're going to take us now in to more excerpts from that book.
Yes, that's right. The true remnant of Jesus' Bible-believing church needs to have this next spiritual update here in occult October. Nearing Satan's most evil night of the year, an evil night of deadly sacrifice, Halloween.
And if we don't finish tonight, we know there will be a part two of this whole situation. And we thank some of you listeners who very recently dipped into your pocket sacrificially to help us stay on the air. And what a godsend it is, because we are struggling, and it's such a wonderful, wonderful gift that you've given the listeners who want to know the truth. Go ahead, Lou.
Too many so-called Christians have come under the spell of the great falling away, worshiping Satan in culture and in statues. With no discernment, is it any wonder congregations, pastors, and their hapless flocks fall for the Antichrist clot shots? Some Baphomet pastors even hold death inoculation courts in their sanctuaries. Once again, we bring you very important information from the new 2021 book, Dark Covenant, by Ellie Henson and Donna Howell, published by Defender Publishing, Crane, Missouri. The book is for sale at Southwest Radio Church. You can call them to get a copy at 1-800-652-1144. And again, the Southwest Radio Church office number is 1-800-652-1144.
And before you go on, Lou, let's give out our address. And again, to tell people, if they didn't hear last week's program, one of our most important ever, send people to DividedKingdomRadio.com, and they can go to the listening archives for October 14th. And so that's so important. And if you would like to help us, a little cash, some postage stamps, or a money order, checks have to only be written out to either WWCR or Global Star Communications. At this time, it would be more helpful for you, if you're going to write a check, to write it to Global Star Communications and mail it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland. That's capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And now for Dark Covenant.
Let's see, Elizabeth, do you begin or do I?
I believe that you do.
All right.
What page do you have at the top of your
I have page 243.
Yes, you begin.
Okay. The next step is to acknowledge that the outside world is already viewing Christianity as a cult, and an agenda is at work to exacerbate this on a global scale. The faster we collectively are made to look like kooks, never mind that the remnant church is a different living and breathing entity than the apathetic bride of spot and wrinkle, the faster Antichrist can split us up and identify the remnant's firm stance on correct interpretation of the word as, quote, hate speech, unquote. And don't misunderstand, this reflection isn't necessary, quote, because we care what the world thinks, unquote. We don't, and we shouldn't. At least not in the context in which these words are casually and commonly used today, like when someone wears pajama pants to the grocery store. Scripture is clear that Christians will be tragically misunderstood, rejected, and even persecuted for our belief in and work for Him. See 2 Timothy 3:12 and Luke 6:22. It's also clear that we don't have to feel alone in this because Jesus faced it first. See John 15:18. And that these experiences can actually bless us by making our faith stronger. Matthew 5:10-11 and 2 Corinthians 12:10. On the other hand, we must momentarily consider what the increased sexual things when it is Christianity, quote, Christianity. They know the impression that I spot who doesn't read her own book is making on those whose souls may hang the balance. It is in the interest of the final great harvest of souls that the remnant church, the image bearers of the Creator, and the ambassadors of Christ's great mission, that you will still care and be alive in the end, and get ourselves all the more glorifying God, presenting Him accurately to the lost.
Consider the Hate Sale television series is one obvious example. For those who are familiar with it, this program, based on the book by Margaret Atwood, paints a dystopian future wherein natural human production is threatened by plummeting fertility rates that are a result of sexually transmitted diseases and environmental contaminants. We have interjected there. We have heard in our report by an anonymous doctor who is probably a gynecologist obstetrician, and a woman went in to him, and he examined her uterus, and he said, "You're not vaccinated, are you?" She wasn't. And the implication, and probably he told her, was that everyone who's vaccinated, he's seen, has damage to their uteruses. can see by design, God's people are being harmed. The sterility factor, this awful genocide is still continuing. So now we're saying here that in this Handmaid's Tale, we're in this situation where these fertility rates are going down, and the environmental contaminants, excuse me, at this time, we know are from this vaccine's effects. The American government, now known as Gilead, and that's again in the Handmaid's Tale, is run by totalitarian theonomic dictators who have established a new hierarchy of social classes involving extreme subjugation of women, including their being prohibited to read or write. Inhumane cruelty is commonplace for anyone who steps outside the favor of tyrannical authority, and the worst of all evils is committed by the most fanatically religious devotees. Now, we see there, don't we, right away, it sounded like this might be a pretty good story, you know, about fighting tyranny. But this is one of those things that Satan is going to use to demonize the true Christians. When we think about the Muslims, radical Islam, and all the bombings and beheadings and everything in the last few years in the Middle East, we never heard of one from the Christians, did we, Lou?
No, not one.
No. So you see, we're unfairly demonized. This is Satan's plan. So more in this story, after I said the worst things of all are committed by the most fanatically religious devotees, democracy is dead, and there's only one permissible religion to which everyone in society must submit, a fundamentalist Christian belief system called the Sons of Jacob. At the lowest social rung are the handmaids, ritual fertility sex slaves modeled after a warped interpretation of Laban's handmaid, Bilhah, from Genesis 29:29, who are forced to bear surrogate children for the commanders in order to contribute to a streamlined human population. This sexual act, known as the ceremony, takes place with the commander's wife's participation as she sits behind the handmaid's head and holds her arms down, symbolically insinuating that the forced act of copulation is consensual between man and wife. What explanation might there be for this show's immense popularity? Is it merely a gripping plot? Does our society tune in more than it would have because of a huge advertising budget? Was the greatest about this particular Hulu tie another Hulu to the opposite scene that birth women? Or is there perhaps another more sinister reason that a story based on one of the most banned books in the country is a regular companion? Yes? Today's Hulu junkies likely even consider these questions.
They simply return as a new, seemingly heedless diametric shift our American culture has made in the last few decades from the Brady Bunch entertainment standards of yesterday. Now, Elvis Crowley's programming shamelessly involved in raping a slave of his accomplice wife to the beating of God. We are going to put the Nazi sensitization of our responsiveness to perversion as a play on screen, especially in a distortion of Christianity into a cultic relationship abuser given the hunger for sex and domination. There is no way painted in this light on the small screen just to show. Oh, how star changing. Means of will and grace, independently defined Bible characters, best for a conversion suggested that the entire agenda is homosexuality by sending our youth to getaways, where lyrics to well-known, in this case, he's got the whole world in his hands, are divorced from their original meaning and rewritten to severely indoctrinate homophobia. Rosie O'Donnell's SMILF, that is, single mother I'd like to have adult relations with, character Bridget laughs about how Virgin Mary can see Jesus as a result of rape by one of the girls. Cameron Monaghan's shameless character protested outside a church by youth and obscene urban slang terms for hack, calling him full and subsequently heralded as a viral hero Jesus as a result of his demonstrations. Fiona Gubelman's hateful, hypocritical, quote-unquote, but Christy Time Diva's character, Heather, who is mother to a transgender child, she declares was made transgender by God, engages in abusive S&M sex with her husband while getting screwed with a cross-shaped paddle. An act related to dropping up kinky three-way with God. FC Brock Mike, and an episode wherein the lead character during alcoholic meeting called Jesus the house, and went on to say something so blasphemous that we can't bring ourselves to write it from here. A synonymous and far more, I should say, far less profane way, the state said was that, quote, each man, unquote, took place for the last episode of Netflix's Insatiable involved in the Mr. Jesus Passion, wherein young teenagers come to be crown thorns in a choir number, Sweet Jesus Inside Me. Yeah, oh Spirit, please ride me. The absolute top of the list of offenses we found is an episode of Preacher that begins with a, quote, graphic and gratuitous sex scene portraying Jesus losing his virginity with a married woman the night he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, unquote. If things continue to go the current direction, we Christians will be a completely polarized faction, considered hostile to the world around us because there are people in high places and in all places, influential media personalities, university professors, politicians, and so on, who have successfully combined foot in the door, door in the face, and other methods of manipulation to paint us as dangerous, cultic, radical fanatics whose beliefs are only worthy of satire.
And the author also mentions the movies, not just TV. Some report that a new independent film, Habit, casting pop star idol Michael Jackson's daughter Paris Jackson as the lead, depicts Jesus Christ as a beautiful lesbian who intervenes on behalf of a young girl pretending to be a nun. As of mid-pandemic 2020, information about the film is scarce since COVID-19 has slowed down much production in Hollywood. These authors, however, won't be surprised if this, quote, lesbian Jesus film hits the screen at a later time. Such important information here to the remnant, and we need to be in much prayer. We'll pick up the latest news next week, and we will continue this look in Dark Covenant. We will definitely want to talk about more of this. And thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom. And we are praying for you. And please pray for our program. Send people to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Good night.